Well, I'd like to welcome everybody who survived DragonCon 2002 here. You guys are awfully lively for a four-day con at the very end, you know? All right, guys, let's get started. My name is Waylon Adams, and I am also a guide on the Zegany server, known as Graykin on Zegany. Is anybody here from Zegany? Oh, good, then my reputation won't follow me. That's always a plus. I am a guide, and there's a certain reputation right there. No, I'm just a regular guide. I've been a guide for a little over two years now, and I don't have time to be a senior guide. Those guys put in ridiculous hours. I can't do it. Anybody else a guide here that's willing to admit it? Ex-guides? Any ex-guides? Got one here. Okay. Y'all can... Just curious if there were any guides or ex-guides here. Guide? Can you say what server?
No.
Okay. Well, if you're here as your player, you can't. If you're here as a guide, you can. That's the rules on the fanfare anyway.
I can tell you what my play server is, but I'm not suicidal.
Okay, that's cool. Well, listen, what I want this to be is kind of a back and forth. I've got some notes and things I wanted to mention, but this was sort of an impromptu thing. I didn't have time to invite a lot of other people up. There's a million people who could be up here on the panel. So that's why I think everybody can kind of interact, because I'm sure everyone here plays EverQuest or is at least curious. The point of this, as I remember the title of this, is From Newbie to Uber. And we want to try to talk about things that would interest somebody who's just started playing or who's thinking about playing, all the way up to people who've been playing for a long time. What I want to talk to about first for a couple of minutes, though, is a couple of things on the customer service program, guides and GMs. There's some misconceptions and I guess you'd say some conceptions about what guides and GMs do. So I want to talk about a couple of things. Guides are volunteers in the EverQuest program. Guides are not paid. The only thing that we get is once you become a full guide, you get your account, one account for free, and then we have a separate account that we guide on. GMs are paid employees by Sony, so they are actually Sony employees who work, paid directly from the money that we, because I do have another account that I do pay for, that we all pay in. Guides are mainly there to help handle when there are bug situations. It's kind of hard to describe. Guides' powers are actually fairly limited in some ways. We are investigators to a certain extent, and our job is to really help the GMs to help players. And do keep in mind, every guide is a player, and we all run through the same things everybody else does, and we're not allowed to say that we're guides. That's why I can't tell you any details about what I play or even where I play, because we're not allowed. So we have to go through the same pain. We all camp rage fire just like everybody else. We, get kill stolen and all these other kind of fun things, and we petition just like anyone else. I want to talk to a couple of things and then ask some questions. Some things that would maybe help when you run into problems. Things that guides can help with are like if you've died due to a bug, if you wake up and your corpse is under the world, which does happen, these are things that guides can definitely help with. A couple of things that would help, and I guess this is just kind of asking from a guide's perspective. Use the petition command to contact guides when you can. What this does is it gives us a list of every in order of people who's petitioned, and honestly, guides and GMs do their best to follow that list and take people in the order that they came in. When you send a direct tell to a guide or a GM. The problem is that they're probably already helping somebody else right then, and so you're kind of interrupting someone else, and that wouldn't be any fun if you're the one being helped at the time. Sometimes it's important to do that, though. There's a couple of emergency situations that sadly we have to deal with, and one of them is personal specific threats to somebody and suicides. We unfortunately are things that we deal with, and there have been, I've unfortunately had to handle that where somebody has threatened to commit suicide, and that's one where you do want to send a direct tell to anybody you can. I'm going to bounce around here for a minute. You guys have probably been in the chat before that you get off the server list. Probably you were pretty irritated when you got there because either your server got bounced or you got bounced and couldn't get back in. I want to talk for a second about what that GM who sits there in chat does. Their job is to moderate that forum, that chat area, basically to keep people from spamming too much or to saying too many naughty words. Their other main purpose is to be there as a point for guides on the various servers to contact them and ask for help from GMs or ask to have specific things looked up. Things that they're not there for. The chat GM isn't there for tech support. They probably don't know as much as half the people who are in there who are waiting for stuff. These guys may be good at computers. They may not be. But they're not there for tech support. There are areas for tech support, and the tech support chat actually works fairly well. They're also not there to do a world kick for you. Unfortunately, they can't do that. They have to be in there. Kind of going back to what I said a few minutes ago, one of the big emergencies that occurs for guides is rarely, but it does happen, the suicide threats. That's when we have to get that GM and get them fast to try to get this person some help. And that's why they're there for guides. You'll see the blue named guides in there. Oftentimes we will try to go in there and help as well. Sometimes we can help. Most of the time when you're in chat, all you can do is ask a GM, is basically be told you need to petition in game. One thing to mention, I think the most common thing that we have all run into is you get booted out for whatever reason, and it won't let you go back in. It says you got the active character. Let me tell you the standard thing that they say. Exit EverQuest entirely. Completely exit it. If you can, reboot your computer. Go back in. Sometimes you even have to wait 5 or 10 minutes. It almost always will fix it. I say almost because there are exceptions, unfortunately. One other thing that I wanted to mention, it's always your right to talk to a GM if you run into a problem. Guides and GMs are people, and sometimes we have bad days, and sometimes we don't act right. You know, I don't know any other way to put it. When that happens, insist on talking to a GM. Understand that it could be a while before GMs get on the server. You may be aware of the fact that the customer service program changed recently from having one GM per server to teams of GMs for groups of servers. And these guys basically come on in waves. You'll notice that there's nobody on, then all of a sudden there's five of them on, and they sweep through like locusts, pretty much dealing with every petition they can before they move on. They have a huge board that lists all the servers and all the petitions that are going on at a particular time. And that's how they know to bounce around. Part of the problem, and understand, I'm up here representing myself. I'm not representing Sony. I'm trying to kind of represent the volunteer guide program, but what I say isn't official words because, you know, Sony would be very irritated if I tried to talk for them. Again, I'm not being paid by them, so I can say that sometimes they're not doing as well as we'd all like them to. And one of the ways is, in my opinion, the GM support. These GMs are overworked, and they really do the best they can, but sometimes it's like turning back the ocean. And these guys get swamped on a particular server, and they don't make it to the one that you're on or I'm on sometimes. And it may be that you got a petition for 3 or 4 days in a row. It's important to us, if you've got a problem, You know, there's been some problems lately with people losing items. I think that's been fixed, but what you've got to do is petition again multiple times. Each time you get on, do a petition and wait till you can talk to a GM. And if after a couple of days, if you still haven't managed to talk to a GM, on the EverQuest site, there is a link called Contact Your GM. That will go to a different team of GMs. It's not the same team who moves from server to server. They have a team specifically to answer those emails. And it may take another day or two. But these guys will get to you and they will contact you. And that's really important because they will get to you. And a lot of times these guys can help you even when you're offline. Keep that in mind. Frankly, if it were me, I'd petition the first day. The second day, if I petition and I don't get an answer, as soon as I log off, I have gone, and then I use the contact the GM. I figure 2 days is enough, then I'll start them going. I had a friend of mine do that, and he literally had – you still put your petitions in even after that. He literally had 5 GMs within a 30-minute period finally get to him after a couple of days. He had one epic handed to him, then he wanted another, then another. You know, they quickly realized they couldn't give him that many epics, but that was part of his problem. A couple more things. I want to open it up to questions. One of the biggest issues that people run into is kill stealing. And I wondered, my wife, unfortunately, was not feeling well. She's been playing the game for almost as long as I have, and she's giving me a different perspective than I have. She pointed out that a lot of people don't know what kill stealing is necessarily, so I wanted to mention it. Kill stealing is basically when person A has attacked a mob, and all of a sudden person B comes up and attacks it. That's an attempt at kill stealing. May or may not succeed. It really depends on who out damages who. But the bottom line is the person who struck the first blow is the person who gets to engage the mob. Now, if they die, then the mob's open for the next person. But if somebody comes up while you're attacking a mob and just obliterates it, you're level 10 and a level 40 comes up and smacks it twice and it's gone, that's kill stealing. Here's the problem, proving it. Sadly enough, you wouldn't believe the number of people who try to scam in this game, including scamming guides and GMs. There are people, if they don't like someone, they say they were kill stealing from me. It's been to the point for years that, as much as I hate to say it, we can't always just take somebody's word. And that's terrible, but it's true. Kill stealing is a very hard thing to prove. About all you can do is, if it's happening repeatedly, contact a guide using petition, or contact customer service, which will probably be a guide, and say, look, this person's kill stealing from me. Can you please help? With any luck, they're still doing it. I hate to put it that way, but it's true. And then a guide can come investigate. And we have ways of investigating to see if somebody's kill stealing. But we can only do it if it's happening at the time. If we catch them, then we can do something about it. That's one issue if you're doing orc camps in East Commons. It's another issue if you're doing the Emperor. And it happens there, too. Let me set up a scenario. Uber Guild number one is gathering people to take on the Emperor. They're all in the staging area. All of a sudden, Uber Guild number two comes marching right past them with enough people to take the Emperor already. They march right in. Uber Guild number two does and kills the Emperor. Is that kill stealing? According to the rules, it's not, because guild number one was still staging people. I'm not saying it's fun, but unfortunately the problem is proving these becomes difficult. Yes, sir. Hold on 1 second. I don't know if they're recording this or not, but they like to have microphones in front of everybody before they start talking. So go ahead.
All right. You say something about engaging, and it's one of those nice little detailed things. It's a nice little cusp. When you say engage a mob, do you mean successfully striking the creature?
No, that's a good point. And here's the thing. Let's say Uber Guild number one has one ranger there, and he's trying to hold the camp. You've probably heard that before. and a ranger takes one shot at it. Well, first off, that's a dumb ranger.
You said ranger.
Heard that. Second to that is, though, let's be honest. You've got to have a decent amount of force to take on certain mobs. A level one is not going to take on even an orc camp in East Commons. That kind of leads to the idea of camping. And so I'm going to jump into that and try to answer the question, too. As a player, I believe that people should be able to should respect who's been waiting for a mob. And I do it. When I'm playing, I respect if somebody's there waiting and I even see two or three people waiting, I get in line. Unfortunately, as a guide or customer service, we can't know who's been in line. There's no way to know that. And so the rule of that is, officially, camping is not recognized, period. What must be done is you've got to work out a way of sharing the camp. If you can't work out a way, a guide or a GM will, and it's usually in such a way that nobody's happy. As a player, I've been in that situation to where somebody comes, I've been camping something, and somebody comes walking up and demands to share it. If it's really important, we'll try to call a GM, but it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes what I do is I just mutter a few dirty words to myself without typing them, and I leave. I know it's not fair, but unfortunately that can be how it is. If that person won't be reasonable and won't work it out, that's the only way we can do it. It is a good question, though. I wish there were a better way, but the bottom line is if somebody even attempts to attack it and they've got any chance of succeeding, they deserve to try it. Use an example I gave a minute ago of the one ranger who's trying to hold the camp, and he sees Ubergill 2 coming in, and he tries to engage the mob. That ranger isn't going to last but about 3 seconds. Ubergill 2 can then march right in and do whatever they're going to do anyway. So it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Just as an aside, does anybody play on the player versus player servers? Then you guys know that it's a different story there. It's a very different story. That's exactly it. You don't like what somebody's doing, you kill them and move on. There's a lot to be said for that. I don't guide on a player versus player server, but I've talked to several who do, and it's in most ways it's a much easier job. All they do is say, fight it out. You know, you got two guilds, fight it out. Winner gets to take on the mob, and we just stand back and watch. I understand there's a lot of laughter going on at the time. They've got harder issues. They've got harder issues, though, I understand, because you guys have probably run into some of the issues on the player versus player servers of corpse camping and things like that, which is not cool. That is one they'll go after. The question was, what is corpse camping? I don't play on player versus player servers, but I'm going to tell you what I interpret it as, and maybe some of you who do can raise your hand and correct me if I'm wrong. But basically, if I go in and I see somebody I don't like and I kill them, and I just stand where at their rest point and wait for them to wake up, and I kill them again, and I kill them again, and I kill them again. That's corpse camping.
There's two different things. That one is bind point camping.
Okay. That would.
You wait, you kill somebody, and then you're at their bind point, and you kill them and kill them and kill them.
And doing that, you can cause somebody to lose 10 levels just by continuously killing them. The corpse camping is, you wait by their corpse, wait for them to show up, and you kill them. So now they've got two corpses to come get. And then they come back again, you kill them again. Most players are actually pretty liberal about that, and they have a loot and scoot policy. They say, get your corpse and get out of here. You've got about 30 seconds to clear the zone. And if you don't, then you're fair game again.
As I understand it, and I could be wrong, again, I do not guide on these servers, but I do believe that the loot and scoot is an official policy. I'm not sure. But I don't think you're allowed to literally corpse. Okay. Not sure on that. Is it really? Okay. Really, the idea of player versus player servers, it's organized anarchy, to use a bizarre term, but if you like that sort of thing, you got to live with some of the consequences of it. There's definitely pros and cons. You know, you get a reputation on that server, you'll suffer a lot more than you will on most. And that's kind of what I want to talk about as far as the guide and GM program. Very quickly, understand the difference. There are apprentice guides, guides, senior guides, and a couple of levels of GMs. You can do a who-all GM to see who's on and who's visible at the time. We do have the ability to go anonymous sometimes, but generally speaking, it's the policies nowadays to not do that unless it's really important. Apprentice guides are when, kind of leads to, into the next thing, so let me start with that. Again, I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit here. A lot of people will ask, how do you be a guide? Well, first off, you've got to be insane. Second off, you've got to really enjoy taking on abuse, because guides get a lot of abuse, mainly because people are frustrated. You don't contact a guide or a GM unless you've got a problem, so of course you're frustrated. Quick things on guides. You've got to be at least 18 years old in the real world. You have to have at least 2 10-level characters. It sounds ridiculous, but that's all you have is gotten at least 2 characters to level 10. Just to mention it now, I don't have any characters over level, I guess, lower 40s, but I have a bunch of characters on a number of different servers. There are a lot of guides who have 6 level 60s. You know, it all depends. I generally feel like I'm a pretty good guide with that. It does help that my wife has several characters at the very high end, so I can just yell into the other room if I happen to have a question on the very high end game. But that's the only really requirement you have. There's a guide. There's a guide test you have to go through, and I'm going to give you a secret about the guide test. It looks like it's asking for a lot of very detailed questions on how the game works, or what things that are in the game. They'll show you a picture and where is this. That'll answer your broad experience. Here's what they really want to know. How do you answer the questions of player one is camping orcs in East Commons? Player two comes up and says, this is my camp now. Player one petitions. How do you handle it? You're not going to know the way our policies and procedures say specifically to handle that, but they want to know how you answer that question. You got to be literate. You can't use leet. You know, so forget the letter R for the word R. It's not going to work. Try to give something, you know, use the wisdom of Solomon here and try to come up with a reasonable solution. You may not have the right one, but that's what they want to know. Being a guide, and even more, being a GM, you're not there to try to scout out areas for your guild. If you are, don't bother. You're not going to be able to do it anyway.
I've got a quick question.
Yes.
Maybe you can explain this. I'm over here on this side.
Okay.
Maybe it's a GM question, and I'm guild leader of Lost Dragons, Finn and Roe. There's a GM that's a member of my guild. He hides, but he shows up sometimes, and he's got my guild tag on. Can you explain that to me?
What's the name of your guild?
Lost Dragons, Finn and Roe. The GM's name is Meal, and sometimes when you do a Who All Lost Dragons, you'll see a gap line. It's an empty space in the guild, say, and then if you keep doing a who all every now and again, you'll see him pop up as he's no longer anonymous, but he's a member of the guild, and I'm guild leader, and I have no knowledge of how it happened.
That's an interesting one. I'll tell you that I ran into it. I don't know if this is giving away a game secret or not, but I'll go ahead and throw it out. I ran into a player who was. You know how GMs or guides are the names are green? I ran across a player whose name was Green one day, and it freaked me out because I knew they weren't a guide.
It happened to me.
And here's how it happens. When the GM has to give you something, you know, when you lost an item, for momentarily you're flag GM long enough for them to give you something. And if if they unflag, you know, if they forget to unflag you, that may be the thing. This person may just be normally flagged as a GM. It could be that a GM set themselves up in your guild. Certainly a GM can do just about anything in the game. It could be. I would ask them. Quite frankly, I would just ask them.
You say hi to them, they'll go, hi.
contact me afterwards, and I'll give you an email to... Okay, well, if you're not concerned about it, I couldn't guess. I mean, really, unless I'm involved in a situation, I have no idea why that may be set up that way. GMs, some of these guys are pretty cool, and they may have just gotten invited to your guild a long time ago by somebody just for the heck of it, and they accepted. Guides, as a rule, aren't allowed to do that. We don't accept invitations. Going back real quick to the how to be a guide, though, after you've answered that question, they're going to either tell you that you, I think they give a you failed the test or you passed the test. I think when I started, they didn't tell you you failed. It may be a month or two, and all of a sudden that you get an email saying, "Hey, welcome to the guide program. Show up on IRC, and we'll chat in a particular place and time, and we'll give you your initial information." Then you are put on a server. You never ever guide on a server that you play on, and they check this. In other words, I'm a guide on Zegany. I've never played there, and I never will. One of the major deals. As you can tell, you're not supposed to mix guide and player information. It's a fine line what I'm doing now, but I did make a point of talking to our GMs before I did this. You're put on a server that you've never played on. Since nobody here's played on Zegany, if you want to apply to be a guide, you may be accepted and placed on Zegany. You will be then marked as an apprentice guide. Apprentice guides have, quite frankly, not much power at all. Their job is to learn how to be a guide, and it's our as guides, it's our job to teach them how. If you ever see an apprentice guide, do them a and you'll see they're generally marked as level 20. Do them a favor. If you can cast so on them, cast so on them. And the reason why is because whereas we guides can pretty much go anywhere we want to, apprentice guides can only run. That's all they can do. And they are encouraged to go everywhere. And they are, since they're flagged, there are certain zones they're not allowed to go into. The very high-end dungeons, guides and GM, apprentice guides, are basically guides of all levels, are not allowed to go there. Mainly because you're not supposed to scout out for your guild what's going on. And you will be punished for it. And guides are released from the program every week because they broke some of these major rules. Even by accident, it happens, and you just have to be careful about it. That's not to say you won't see a guide there, but we have very specific rules on doing it. In any case, though, help the appy out and give them cast so on them so they can get somewhere quicker. Because you know, running across Antonica is no fun. Anyway, so that's apprentice guides, and they're usually flagged marked to a given level 20. Once you become a full guide, there are a lot more abilities and a lot more armor that guides get. The guides' abilities are in their armor. We do not have items of our own. We do not have spells. We don't carry money. We're not allowed to accept most anything. Keep that in mind. If we refuse even a cookie, there's a reason why. You know, we're not really allowed to carry anything except the equipment that we are given by the GMs. And that equipment is what allows us to do our jobs. It's very interesting. When I first started playing, guides, all their equipment, you've heard of the no rent flag and the no drop flag. Well, our equipment was also marked radioactive. And it was marked radioactive because if somebody who wasn't flagged as a guide picked it up, they'd die. Right then, right there, boom, they're dead. They made it no drop after a while, so that wasn't really an option, but it was kind of fun for a while, you know, to think about it. Even today, that's why we can't actually give you our items. Those of us who've been around a while, we kind of know better to even think about it. But that's what a guide does is, you know, the guides are basically the backbone of the program. We're the ones who come in and do reses when the server goes down. We can only do that when a GM gives us permission, by the way. A guide can't do that on their own just because they think you're a nice person. We have very specific rules on when and why we can do reses. Unfortunately, there are guides who abuse that. There are some guides who never do it, and there are some guides who do it too much. And that's really something that we work on training our guides to do better. There's a senior guides. Senior guides have a little more ability than guides. They can change names. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. You should know that our naming policies have gotten a little more looser lately. We're still not going to have, you know, abusive names out there if we can catch them. But they've at least gotten a little bit easier about some of the funnier names, because I used to hate having to stop some people. My wife knows of a person who's, and you guys may play on this server, a person known as Smiley Pie Knee-High. And that used to be, he's a little small, I think a halfling druid. That was a name that might have been blocked at one time. I think he was grandfathered into it, but that one name's okay now. You can go to the EverQuest Live website and read those policies on naming. But senior guides do name changes and a couple other things. But they're still guides. They're still volunteers. Finally, you have GMs. And GMs are Sony employees. And GMs have the ability to do darn near anything, but they are very tightly monitored as much as is possible.
How recently was that policy changed?
The name change policy has been out for at least 4 months, I think. It's worth a try. Also, you know, you can now get your name changed a little easier, your last name. Your first name, as you guys know, they do have a way of changing your first name for a fee. There are a lot of reasons for this. I'm not going to try to justify the dollar ones, but quite frankly, it ought to be hard to change your first name because that's your reputation. That does lead me to this. Some people don't know this. There is a place that lists when people's names have been changed. And if you're interested in dealing with people's reputations, go to this site. It's on the EverQuest Live website, www.everquestlive.com. I don't remember the exact URL to get there, but that's basically... it's very important if you want to keep up with those who you really want to keep up with. That's all I was going to talk about on GMs. I've got a couple other things, you know, several other things we can talk about. But anybody want to have any other questions on the customer service program in general? Guides, GMs, what we can or can't do, griping about things. I mean, you know, there's only so much I can change, but, I can certainly pass things on. That does lead me to something. There was a panel on Friday that was called Gathering of the Guilds, and there were several people up on the panel who represented not Sony, but other game designers and manufacturers, and they had something that I never really thought of. If you're really upset with the way something's going, it helps to complain, but you got to be careful where you complain to make it most effective. My wife and I couldn't believe this when I told her this today, but, you know, if you complain to a guide, if 15 people on one shift when I'm online complain to me about a problem, I boil it down to one statement. And, yes, it does get sent on, but it really doesn't get sent on any faster than if you use the /bug command or the /feedback command. The most effective way you can complain and point out issues is to send emails. And it's not enough to just have one person send an email. If your whole guild is upset about something, everybody send an email. Everybody make it custom. Don't just copy and use the same one. That's never as effective. This works in politics, too, by the way. Send a very short email. If you've got 10 issues, as the lady who was up here on Friday said, send 10 emails. 10 short, to-the-point emails. It really, she says it's far more effective than sending one big long complaint. And it's also very easy to dash off a paragraph or less of this is my issue. Please do it. We guides don't like dealing with all these bugs. We want them fixed. And you guys know there are some that have been out there a long time that drive everybody nuts. It makes a big difference to send these emails. If you've got an issue, please send them. I'm going to start doing it more often now. If y'all think of any questions, you know, raise your hands, let me know. I know I'm doing a lot of talking, but I wanted to run through some things I was at the Boston Fan Fair very recently, and there were a lot of things that people raised as issues. And I wanted to try to mention some of the most common things that I was hearing people talk about. On a subject of safety, for lack of a better topic for it, don't give out your passwords. I know it sounds silly, and I also know that a lot of guilds, some guilds do require it. You must give out your password. There's a lot of dangers there, and it's more subtle than you'd think. Even giving out your password to your best friend, I had a petition the other day. This guy said, all my stuff's gone. I'm like, okay, well, he said, well, my friend, after some discussion, you know, it always comes out a little bit more information, and one of them was, well, my only person who has my password is my friend, and he's on right now. So his friend contacted me and said, well, you know, my password list sitting on my desk at my office, and there were some other guys over there looking at it the other day. Well, it turns out that the password list, not just of his friend's password, but when you give that password out, basically somebody in this guy's office went and got a list of like 15 people's passwords and user IDs, got on EverQuest and just started playing havoc with their characters, giving stuff away, deleting stuff, doing some very rude things that got warnings placed on accounts. So the problem is, when you trust somebody, you're trusting everybody that they trust, and that really can be dangerous. There's a question over here.
I have a friend in my guild who recently, her account was suspended for a two-week period because she had actually received, she'd done an item transfer for someone whose account had been stolen, and she didn't know that the account had been stolen. I was just wondering if you know why they would suspend someone's account for that.
That's a hard question. Again, I'm going to play the ignorance, which I'm good at. I certainly don't know anything about that. In general, my understanding, and GMs are the only ones that can do that. Guides aren't even. We only hear their comments occasionally on this, but basically, I believe that they have to think that the person was knowingly accepting stolen goods. It's kind of like in the real world. If you've got a pawn shop that seems to be accepting stolen goods all the time, they're probably going to get some more police attention than if it's only occasionally. And this is where it comes down to human decision, and that GM may have made a wrong decision. I'm not going to try to defend it. The problem is, though, it is very common. And this kind of leads to something I was going to mention in a few minutes. If something's too good to be true, it probably is. If somebody's going to sell you a mana stone out of nowhere for, 5,000 platinum, you might want to suspect that it's hot. It's kind of like if somebody wanted to sell you a brand new Corvette for, $500, something's wrong. Having said that, I do feel sorry. I have seen these situations before, and I don't necessarily agree with them, but that does lead to another thing, though. If somebody feels like they've truly been wronged and they're not getting support, even from a GM, be persistent. Petition a guide and ask, who can I contact if I'm not happy with the decision? Guides are supposed to tell you. There is always a way to go, and there are emails that are posted on the EverQuest site. If your friend really felt like they were wrong, there is an email by which they can go in and try to plead their case. And it's important to do so. And it's worth it. You always have the right to talk to a GM, even if it's going to take some time. And if you don't get happy, good satisfaction from one, try another. It's not going to help if you're really in the wrong, or not even necessarily in the wrong. I've had people who's petitioned who said, I want a res because I attacked Nexus Skion and got killed. I'm sorry. You're not going to get a res, and you can go to as far up the chain as you want. You're still not going to get one. But this may be a situation to where it is possible that something could change. But that giving out the password is a big deal. It is certainly against the end user license that we all click OK on when we start playing the game. There's what's legal and there's what's right. That's legal, but also it's right because you really don't know who you're trusting when you do that, and we run into a lot of problems when that occurs. On trading items, here's the bottom line: buyer beware. You've got to be careful, and I hate to say it, don't trust anybody. Really don't. When you open up that trade window, look and see what's in it, and make darn sure that it's what you want before you click on that trade button. And this is where the bazaar has made a huge difference. If it always possible, go through that bazaar, because you're going to see it. They're going to see it. You know, everything's going to be up front, and it's very clear. We have had so many problems in the past where player A says, I'll sell you this item, but it's on my alt. So if you'll give me the money, because I want the money, I'll wake my alt up and give it to you. Well, then you're trusting that player, and, you know, you're taking your chances. More times than not, it happens. And here's the thing. EverQuest doesn't track money. EverQuest tracks items, but it doesn't track money, and it doesn't track conversations. Just so everybody knows, there is no log of conversations, and there is no log of money being exchanged, period. There's no way for a GM to see that you gave that guy 10,000 platinum. It's just not going to show up. So you're trusting somebody. That brings me to the report command. The slash report command will take basically a snapshot of the text that is visible on the screen and send it to the server. This is critical because it is the only piece of evidence that we can accept in the customer service department. We cannot accept screenshots, and we cannot accept logs, because both of these can be and have been doctored. Go to everlore.com and see doctored screenshots all day long. There are some very professional ones out there, sadly enough. So we can't take screenshots. What we can do is accept the slash report. And the way you use it is scroll up until you get the text that you want. It's got to be the bottom 10 lines of text if you've adjusted your text box a lot. Scroll up until it's what's visible and do a slash report, space, and the person's name. Then petition if you need to. The reason I brought it up here is if you're doing a really questionable trade, get them to say, I will give you X if you give me Y platinum. Or give me this item. Slash report that. Even if you're not going to do anything, just slash report it. You know, even if you're thinking everything's going to be okay. Because if the trade fails, you can petition and say, I slash reported where they said they would give me this and they haven't. That gives guides ammunition. We do have groups or some guides who, generally speaking, are responsible for dealing with trade disputes, and that gives us some ammunition we didn't have before. The slash report command is the only way we can prove most things if we're not physically there and watching. If somebody's cursing up a storm at you, slash report them. If you can get somebody to admit clearly and unquestionably that they just stole from you, that's a hard word to figure out. If they just stolen from you and they admit it, catch it. But don't slash report if it's not clear, because it's not going to help. That's another big one. If you die of a 10K fall, you know, everybody's probably done it at one point or another, slash report the damage text and the death. Get both of those on the screen and slash report it. Now, if you were standing on top of one of those big statues and you took a nosedive, we're not going to res you. That's a 10K death. A 10K death is really you died a horrible, painful death, okay? It can be. I've had people tell me that they've jumped off of one of the ravines, and normally they can take 780 damage and it won't kill them. But this time they got 10K. Well, either they were carrying 10,000 platinum on them, and that kind of weighs you down. Or, I hate to put it this way, you rolled, those of you who did D&D, you rolled a double zero. You landed on your neck and broke it. If you jumped off of something really big, we can't res you. However, one of the most common ones was in the... porting into West Commons as a druid or with a druid, and boom, you're dead, 10K. What's that? West Commons, at the Druid Circle in West Commons, it was very... Oh, that's... I was going to say, it still happens. It only happens occasionally. It only happens occasionally, and it takes a big crowd there and bad luck, but it can happen. In any case, slash report it. Don't move your corpse. That's really important. It really makes a big difference for us. Don't move your corpse. It helps us track. We can know that the corpse was moved in many cases, but we won't necessarily know from where. So it helps us. Yeah, you can go ahead and loot most of the corpse. I mean, you know, obviously leave something to where it'll still be there. We like to be able to give reses, okay? We really do, but in a lot of cases, we can't. Somebody's on the hillside, and they say, I died to a bug. If it's just a little sloping hill, I have no way of knowing. If they just said, I died to a bug, and they can't slash report it, you know, it's scrolled off. All I can assume is, sadly, that they're trying to get one over on us because they, you know, there are mobs out there that could have killed them. Sometimes we're able to give reses a little more liberally now than we used to, but it's still not easy, and so that's kind of important. I've kind of wandered afield. I was trying to talk about some of the issues on trading, but I feel like that's kind of important. Again, if you have any questions, there's one right there. Please ask.
With the new user interface and the ability to create separate filtered chat windows, which window would you actually get the report on?
That's a good question, and I asked a GM that a while back, and my understanding is it's really all one window when you do a slash report. I'm not sure, if you want to know the truth, how that works, but I would do the slash report in the window that I wanted. I would scroll that one back. I really don't know the right answer to that. I wish I did, but I'm not sure. That does lead to another thing. You can only do one report per zone. But if you zone to another one, you can do another report. My wife had somebody who was abusing her in slash tells. I mean, just rude. She, as a wizard, zoned to 15 different zones to get all the evidence she needed on this person. But they were busted, big time. So it just, you know, just mention that because it's one of the best tools that's out there to protect you. Trading is a big deal, though. Be real careful. Another question over here and then over there. Sorry.
I just have a couple questions about, like, what you were talking about trading in the bazaar issue. There were two that have come up that we've kind of wondered about. The first one is, if somebody's trading a lot of items, are they going to do anything to increase that window size, for one? Because a lot of times they have items, but they're, like, so down at the bottom of the list you can't get to them. And a lot of people go AFK, and I just want to know if they would ever increase that size. And another one is, are they going to do anything to try to fix the lag in the bazaar?
Okay.
I mean, if you go into the bazaar and you're not if your face isn't pressed against a stone wall, you can't do anything.
Well, I will say this. I mean, I don't say a lot about my play servers, but I will say this. I do play on tests. And I know that the length issue, I believe, is already on test. If somebody else is in there, can verify it. But I believe it's already there. I'm seeing a head or two nod. The second one also was on test one night before this all came out, where they said, everybody on the server, come to the bazaar. And they and, you know, they wanted to basically deal with the potential lag issue. They're doing the best they can. Unfortunately, you got some just flat-out limitations of a whole lot of people, and then you get people in there casting spells. For those of you who've gone to the big raids, you probably know a lot of the tricks. You know, particle effects off. Set your... show names off. You can basically set it to where you can only see about 2 foot in front of you. There's a lot of things that'll help. But yeah, I hate going to the bazaar too.
Couldn't they have multiple bazaar areas?
Well, multiple bazaar areas was the question, and that's not a bad one. Here's the thing. I'm a guide. What you need to do is email these as suggestions. They do listen. They're not going to respond necessarily because they're busy, but they do listen, and there's somebody who reads every single email. Send these things in. Use the slash feedback command. Use the slash bug command. There's a question over here.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that I've had great luck in the bazaar actually adjusting the clipping plane. If you just hold the shift minus key down like 20 times, the bazaar will go foggy. But it cuts down the distance you can actually see, but suddenly you're able to run around and see everything now and move normally. And just using those keys right there when I enter and leave the bazaar has made a huge difference.
And you can also do that from the options on the new UI, or you can do it from options, I guess, on the old UI as well. The comment was, if you do that, remember to turn it back up, or you'll wonder why you can't see anything. Any other questions? Please, yeah.
Like with the new UI, like I play between a bunch of different computers occasionally, and when you're selecting your chat filters, you have to do it for every computer on every character you're on.
Yeah.
And every time you select a new chat filter, it closes. And I mean, would that be another thing, just to like to send in an email to maybe that you could just run down the list and click everything you wanted without everything closing on you?
These
every time.
Guys, I talked to a lot of the developers at the fanfare. These guys really want to hear these comments because you've got to understand, these guys do their best to test this thing, but I'm a software developer, and EverQuest is bigger than any piece of software I've ever been on. Only thing I can think of that's as big that I've even come close to is the Sabre Airlines online airline reservation system. I mean, it's huge, and you just can't catch all these bugs, and unfortunately, that means we as players sometimes catch them. Send in these suggestions and these thoughts. I mean, they may have never thought of it. Doesn't mean they're going to do it, because, you know, there's a lot that goes into deciding what they're going to do, but definitely please send them in. Oh, yes. I switched over to it just actually on test to start with, and I've been using the new UI ever since.
Have you played with any new skins, like player-developed skins?
I have not used any of the player-developed skins. I know they're very, very popular. I've seen some really cool graphics that go with these.
I was wondering, because the question about the bazaar of the trade window, if it's really too long, has somebody developed a skin where they have a bigger trade window?
The question is, has the bazaar changed? Has a player made something that makes a bigger window for the trade window? I'm not sure that they can, but I do know that test is that's going to probably roll out. You never know what's going to actually come out of test for sure. It's what makes it fun to play on. But I believe that they will be probably rolling that fix out. It's something that they recognized pretty early on. Two things about trading I want to mention. I mean, if for people who haven't played this long, when you trade an item or pop up that trade window, be careful, because if somebody gives you a container or a set of containers, it's got to go in your inventory. And if they give you 6 backpacks and you've already got 3, three of those backpacks they gave you may well fall on the ground. And when they fall on the ground, a scam that's been out there for forever is the person knows it's about to happen, and they snatch them when they fall off the ground, and it's claimed that they gave them to you. Ultimately, the GMs can trace this, and they will know, but it becomes a big issue, and you'll be without your stuff and money for a while until they figure it out. Watch out for this. Avoid it. Just mentioning it, you know, be aware that it could happen. People will click cancel and with the full intent of causing problems like this. It all boils down to know who you're trading with and be careful. Also, my wife wanted me to tell what happened to her, because it was a more elaborate scam, but most of what we deal with is scam. I won't say most, but a lot of what we deal with is scams, and it's important to realize. The bottom line is this. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. And this is true for scams with money in the real world as well as it is inside the game. My wife had wanted a mana stone for a while. You know, mana stones are usually in the, 130,000 range? I mean, it depends on your server, but they're not cheap. She had somebody who, she was in a zone, and somebody said, I will sell a mana stone, I will trade a mana stone for, and I gotta look at this name, for a Brother Draymoon's Meditations. You probably never heard of it. She hadn't either. I hadn't heard of it. What it is it's a recipe book that came out in one of the patches. Just recipes. So they were going to trade a mana stone for this. She thought it was some bizarre, unusual quest item, because she'd never heard of it. 30 minutes later, another zone. Somebody said, I'll sell a Brother Draymoon's Meditations for 25,000 platinum. She thought, this is cool. So she bought. She paid 25,000 platinum for this recipe book. Tried to contact the first guy. He's like, oh, I'm not doing that. No, what are you talking about? So she was stuck with a recipe book for 25,000. She's basically scammed. Nothing she can do about it. Nothing. It's a buyer beware. That's one of the more elaborate scams I've heard of. This is no different than you guys can read in a paper. A scam just like that's going to come out. I'm sure you've all been offered by South African people to, you know, to make millions of dollars. That's one of the email scams going around. So that's just some of the things I wanted to mention on the trading. Just, you know, at any point, I mean, we can also go off in different directions. If you guys just have questions, you know, throw them at me. I'm just kind of going through things I wanted to, I thought you may want to hear. I see a question over here and then one in the back.
This is an off-tangent question, but my husband and I have been trying to figure this out for ages. Where did Woot come from? Does anyone know where it originated?
That's a good question. I have no idea, but I've heard it long before EverQuest. Oh, yeah. Well, I was playing on some of the Mushes before, if you aren't familiar with that. It's a non-graphical adventure type, yeah, text-based adventure games that have been out for a long time. Anybody have a clue?
Well, I got a friend that said it before, and she didn't even play computer games.
Yeah. Woot has just kind of been around, but it's like, I don't know if you, on some of the servers I'm on, Moo is a real popular one. People just come on and announce Moo. I don't know. Maybe they like cows. I'm not sure. In the back.
Just kind of a general question is, I noticed you've been saying some of the policies lately have been changing to be a lot more liberal in the game, and also we've seen a lot of changes going into the game recently, making things a lot easier than they used to be. More ports, low levels are now easier, the hell levels are going away. I mean, just what do you think about the changes in the game of how everything seems to be getting easier, and it's like the whole original vision of the game has now changed?
Well, the vision, that was a capitalized V for those of you who didn't notice, was originally, I think the man's name was Brad McQuaid, who's moved on to a different, to work on, I guess, Galaxies, or I'm not sure where he moved on to, but he, you know, he's like the man who came up with EverQuest. My personal opinion of the game boils down to this. EverQuest is an immersive fantasy game, and if you're going to really enjoy it, you work your way into an understanding that you're in a world. You know, the catchphrase is, you're in our world now. Well, it's really our world as everybody. It really isn't just Sony's world. Granted, they kind of run the show, but it really has a lot to do with us as players. We're in an agreement with every other player that we're going to be in an immersive fantasy. You know, there's role-play servers that have been tried to, you know, come out, and there's role-play guilds. I think it's kind of important to keep in mind that this is a game and to try to jump into it and to enjoy it. But part of, in my opinion, what's made EverQuest very, and this is just my opinion, what's made it very popular is the fact that it is hard in a lot of cases. The biggest thing in EverQuest has always been risk versus reward. You want the really big rewards, you take a really big risk. That's what really makes the game good. I am not going to name any other games, but there are other games that have come out that people have said, oh, I'm leaving EverQuest, I'm going to go play this one. Most of them I see back. I'm not naming them. Not naming them, because there are people who are just as happy as can be in these games. Most of these games, when I talk to people about why they left, it's because, oh, it's easier there. Corpses don't, you know, it's not, you're not as big a punishment of dying or this or that. They come back. And the reason why most people come back is because ultimately you want the challenge. You've all probably been on a game of some sort where you had God mode in the game. You can't be hurt. That's kind of fun for the first few minutes, and then you go, well, I really didn't get into this game. That's because you didn't have any risk in the game. The potential in EverQuest to have to run, you know, anybody who's ever, when I first started playing, I wandered into West Commons, and it was at night, and I was a human monk. And I couldn't see crap. And I had a hill giant come up, and I was nothing but gum on his shoe after about 1 second. And it took me an hour of real time to find my corpse, and I was scared every second. And I had the best time I ever had. My wife and I were running around cursing and moaning and whining, but we had a great time. But you know, there are a lot of people who'd say, well, that's no good. I had to, you know, took forever to find my corpse. There are a lot of people who have had a situation where the server burped. I don't know any other way to put it. And all of a sudden, you're reset back to the last save. You may have lost a bubble of experience. Hey, it sucks. But you know what? Why are you in the game? You know, did you have fun earning that bubble? I mean, you know, ultimately, there are times where, no, you didn't have fun. But overall, come on. You're here to have fun. If you're not, you're not going to be paying $13 a month times however many accounts you probably have. It becomes not fun at times. But keep that, you know, that's the big thing is it's an immersive world, and you've got to decide if you're having fun or you're not. There are people who basically petition, again, I'm going back to, I literally did have somebody who said, I got killed because I attacked so-and-so mob. I want to rest. No. You know, sorry, no. Well, I'll quit the game. I have to be polite about it. I can't say, don't let the door bump you on the butt on the way out. It's what I want to say. What I end up saying is, if I weren't having fun, I would leave the game. And that's really the bottom line. It's worth, though, contacting the game and saying, this part is not fun. Let me give you a good example for you clerics out there. Ragefire. It's not fun. It's really not fun having to camp that thing the way that it has to be camped. And I don't play a cleric, but I know the pain. You know, it's not fun. They're working on it. Enough people have complained that I know they're working on it. I don't know what they're going to do to fix it. They've kind of tweaked it in the past, and they're going to try to do it again, I'm sure. So, you know, it's a good question. I don't like the fact that they're making the game a little bit easier. I think in the long run that's a mistake. But they're feeling some pressure from all the other games out there, and a lot of the other games are easier, in my opinion. And people are going to go to them, and they'll come back. Any other questions? I've got another half page of notes that we can talk about. But, you know, if y'all think of anything, any at all, you know, bring it up. I'm not really going through a particular order here. Got a section I call the economy. It's really just talking about, this is for more of the newbies out there, but a lot of people don't really realize these things. So if it's obvious to you, think about it. It may not be obvious to somebody else. Some vendors like you better than others. And if they like you, they're going to give you a better price. If you can adjust your charisma to where they'll like you even more, that helps. These aren't really game secrets. Technically, they might be, but come on. You know, that's why we're here, is to talk about these things. Keep that in mind, though. Some people like you better than others, and that helps. Going back to almost some customer service things, faction, as you all know, is a huge deal in EverQuest. Keep in mind, whatever you do anywhere can affect somewhere else. You can smack around this little peasant in Antonica and find out that in Gefei you've just made an enemy. I'm not naming anything specific, just in general. These are things, and a lot of times you don't realize it. Keep that in mind. Everything you do can have a consequence, and sometimes it really sucks. My wife switched from... I wish she were here today, but she wasn't feeling well. She switched from Dragon... Yes, she is playing right now, actually. I think there's a raid going on. You know, she is sick. She is sick, but she's playing a game. Does this sound familiar to anybody? If she was that sick, I would have to set up the computer by the bed, I guarantee you. But she's gone from Dragon Faction at one point all the way to Giant Faction and back. That ain't easy. But, you know, you can imagine the amount of pain and suffering that went through there. But just kind of a point, faction is a tricky thing, and be careful. We do get people who petition, my faction went bad and I don't know why. A GM has to look into that, and ultimately they go, well, that's probably because you killed, you know, so-and-so. You know, my faction was... Mayong Mismore is bad. Well, did you realize that your group killed him a while back? You know, do you think he likes you after that? You know, just something to mention. My wife, she and I chatted about some of this, and she, like I said, she's been playing a long time, and some of the things that people may not realize or think about. The economy in EverQuest is such a thing that items are really worth what somebody wants to pay for them. That's it. an item doesn't, just because somebody thinks it's worth $50,000, that doesn't mean it is. It may be worth $5,000. It's just like a Beanie Baby is only worth, you know, technically probably cost a dollar to manufacture and market, and that's about it. You can sell, you know, people sell these things for a lot more. Same thing with items in the game. It seems like a very simple thing to say, but it's only worth what you want to pay for it. Don't let somebody bully you into, you know, buying something just because you ask about it. Literally, I've seen people try to bully others. Don't, you're not under no obligation. Until a transaction has taken place, you're in no obligation to buy or sell anything. Even if you say, yes, I'm going to do it, until you accept money or give money, you're still not obligated to do it. So she's apparently run into a lot of people who feel like there's just obligation to buy or sell, and wanted me to mention that. For this is more for the newbie side than the Uber side. There's a question up front. I can repeat it if...
Okay. This is just a general talking about selling and things. Do you think that Bazaar has really lowered the prices on items now?
I'll repeat the question. The question is, do we think that the Bazaar has lowered the prices on things? Absolutely it has. And it's simply because of this. It's so easy to sell in a Bazaar now. Used to, there were only a few people who were the merchants of EverQuest. And they would hang out in either Gaffe or East Commons, depending on your server. Yeah, isn't it great? But they would either hang out one or the other, and they would sell stuff. And quite frankly, they may never level, but boy, they were great merchants. I mean, they were awesome. They could buy, you know, the whole thing, buy low, sell high, and they were good at it. All of a sudden, that economy doesn't work anymore because it's trivial for anybody. I mean, you all have seen this. Go to the Bazaar. When you're ready to go to bed for the night, go to the Bazaar, put your stuff up, go to sleep. DSL connections are wonderful things. Yeah, she's got two computers. I am a computer geek from long way back. We've got several computers, all of them on the network, and my wife has had all four going. She's the real merchant in the family. Yeah. you know, so, yeah, I do think the Bazaar has affected it, but I don't think it's a bad thing, because quite frankly, I've got a bunch of lower-level characters. It's nice being able to buy something for cheaper than I used to.
Twinker.
Yeah, well, no, my wife is the twinker. You wouldn't believe what this woman does. I mean, she's got a Donald's breastplate on her level 18 druid or something. I mean, it's rude, okay? It's just rude. But, you know, we can talk about twinking for a while. I'll throw out my personal opinion. If I look on what she does as somebody's rich aunt who has a niece that she just loves and is going to give her stuff. You know, my wife earned it. I don't have a problem with it. It might overbalance the game, but I don't think so. I'm a little more concerned with buying and selling things off of eBay, which is a big subject we had on panel on Friday. Even then, it's debatable. I'm just going to throw this out. What do you guys think of Legends? The Legends server? Stormhammer? Just so you know, it's the Stormhammer is the name of the server. I think it's called Legends server, though. It's the premium pay server on EverQuest. It's what, $40? $40 of... And the comment was, I've seen five people go and five people come back. I've found it very interesting. Clearly it works for some people. The idea being you get a lot more personalized customer service. You get a lot more dynamic content. Some people love it. A lot better items, personalized items. The downside to it, of course, is or an issue that I've seen is apparently you can come back with a lot of these items. And a lot of people will do that. And there's a question.
I got a question about the Legend server. Tell me exactly what you mean by more customer service.
They have more. In fact, there are no guides on those. You pay enough. And let me mention that for just a second. It seems like $13 a month times the number of subscribers is a lot of money on EverQuest. And there's no doubt that Sony's making money or they wouldn't be doing this. They're not in the. They're not here to make us have fun. They're here to make their shareholders happy. But $13 a month to give a decent profit for the company, and I'm not trying to debate what decent profit is. That's their problem, not mine. Does not allow them to give, you know, ideally one GM for each half of the room, okay, you know, would probably work out fairly well. It doesn't pay enough for that. Even, and I got news for you, these GMs aren't paid that well, but even then it doesn't pay that much. It's not the situation where they can have a huge amount of customer service. By the same token, I think that the idea being the $40 one is more than enough to have a lot more GMs there and available, not only to provide help with bugs, but to provide the dynamic content. I've never been on there, and I frankly aren't. I'm not going to pay $40 a month. Guides wouldn't get that for free, you know, and I wouldn't do it for free anyway. That's not the kind of server I want to be on. That's my personal opinion. But it's what you're getting, though, is a lot more dynamic content. I mean, you've got, I don't know, for all I know, Ferona V comes walking around every few minutes to wave at people and give out items. I really don't know. I do know that you can bring those items back from Stormhammer, and you can transfer back and forth at least in some number of times over a month or some time period. I don't know what the rules are. Did I even remotely answer your question?
Sort of.
Okay.
The thing most, like everybody says, they know someone who went and come back, they get items over there. There's a rumor that for clerics wanting Ragefire, they would spawn him dynamically in order for the clerics to kill, for their guilds to kill Ragefire so they could get it. And there's actually some confirmation on an incident where three clerics were contesting it and got three spawns consecutively to get Ragefire. And
that was not on Stormhammer.
That's even worse.
That was, yes. That's a sore point for me.
Hi, 55 level cleric. Let's not talk sore points.
I will confirm that, what you just described, where there were three clerics contesting Ragefire, and a GM chose, apparently it went all the way up the chain to the lead GM, chose to spawn Ragefire for each of these clerics to kill. Personally, I sent emails. I went through my server management team to complain, and I sent emails. I'm not happy with that. It goes back to what the gentleman on the back over here was talking about. What's the challenge in that? Why don't you just go ahead and give them their epic and save time? Again, I'm not up here to defend Sony, and that's one where I think they screwed up. And I made a point of telling them. And if you guys don't like it, send an email and tell them you didn't like it. They're not going to take those guys back, but maybe they won't do that again. It's my opinion, you know. Now, Stormhammer may be different. I don't care if they spawn one every 5 minutes. I'm a little concerned if they can bring somebody back, you know, bring the stuff back that easily. But, again, you know, that's Sony's doing, not mine. But I can, you know, I can have an opinion. A question up here? The comment was GMs get paid about $9 an hour. Go ahead.
And they go through about 1,400 emails per day.
They have a lot.
They have to do that and deal with issues, live issues on the server.
We work with GMs pretty often, not as closely as we used to because there's no longer one per server, but I do know that the GMs are very overworked. I mean, these guys really do work hard, and these guys – go play, most of them go play as soon as they get off shift. So, I mean, they're into it too. It sounds cool to be a GM, like they're getting paid a lot. They're not. They're really not. You have to move on up in the gaming world, of the development world. I mean, game developers don't get paid a whole lot. You know, but you got to love the game. That was one of the panels, is the facts are game developers, graphics designers, they don't get paid that much, but you got to love it. There's a question up front.
I'm just curious about how come you have, like, these light blue things coming exactly, like, way, way weaker than you. Then you have these, like,
The question is, why some things, you mentioned light blue, but I've seen greens that'll do it if you sit down. You know, but things that are that clearly would have little hope of winning in an attack jump on you, whereas you can walk right in front of some things that, that clearly are about ready to kill you, and they don't seem to pay any attention. It all has to do with what they call attack radius, and it's I think it's basically to do with, if you translate it into this virtual world concept, it's hard to think of it not as a bunch of electrons, but if you think of it as a simulation of a real world, some things can smell you from a distance, and they're going to go after you. Undead are really good at that. They just know you're around, and they want to kill you. Some people, though, you've got to really come up and, you know, smack them upside the nose a couple of times, and then they're going to go after you big time. And it really has a lot to depend with just how concerned they are with, you know, do they really even care if you're around? It's very interesting. I've got my next section was talking about travel tips. One of them is, kind of goes with the whole vendor thing. Not everybody likes you, and not everybody hates you. I'll tell you a story. I had a Dark Elf Necro that was wandering through West Freeport. You're there, okay. West Freeport was pretty safe. Well, I was wandering through a particular area, and there was a little peasant lady standing there, and I thought I'd go walking past. Peasant lady didn't like me. She came after me, and I wiped the floor with me, and it didn't take any time at all, and she did it from quite a distance. There were others who conned threateningly, but I walked fairly close, and they didn't do anything. So it really just has to depend on, apparently she just really didn't like Dark Elf Necros. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. The crocodiles over there, which are good hunting, by the way. Yeah, good eating. Good eating. Talking about travel tips, though, let me just say something for those who play druids, shamans, and wizards. Be polite to people, and also enchanters. Be polite to people when you ask for favors. Favors like so, favors like clarity, for a teleport. Keep in mind, like for so, especially lower levels, this takes a large chunk of these guys' mana. And you're like, it's only mana, but guess what? It takes, that means they have to sit there and mana up. Yeah, the higher levels don't even have it, around. The bottom line is, though, keep in mind, yes, it's only mana, but it's a big pain to these guys to have to turn around and, sit down after they've done that, or even to sit down and mimic. They're busy. They may not have time to do that. But if you're polite, it's amazing the things that you can get in this game by just being polite. Keep in mind that wizards and druids may not be going where you're going. My wife does play a wizard, and she has been in the middle of a massive fight, a huge raid, and had somebody slash tell her, hey, could you translocate me to so-and-so? She's like, I'm kind of busy. They weren't hearing it. They were being very insistent. She has a list of people's names. It's gotten very long. These are people that, even with her alts have been rude, she will never help in any way, shape, form, or fashion. She browses this name chain service, too, and she updates her list. She's serious about it. I know guilds that do that, actually. I know guilds that have these people are jerks kind of list. Keep all this in mind. It helps. But be polite to these guys. It'll help. And here's the thing. If you ask for a favor from somebody, whether it's somebody with trade skill or whatever, offer what you can. They may not even want your money. What they want to do is know that you at least appreciate it. And show your appreciation in a material form. Thank you is easy, but even if you're a low level and you're fighting for every, silver you can get, offer what you can. It really does help, and people remember it. My wife's also got a list of people that have really helped her out. Right. Question up front.
On the same side as that, quite frequently, when you do offer money, it's canceled.
Mm-hmm.
They appreciate the concern, but they won't take it, especially from Lobies.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, keep your money, you need it type of thing.
Right. But, you know, by offering it, you've shown that you're really interested. If you're shouting for a teleport, say how much you're willing to pay up front. You know, it'll make a big difference. Just shouting for a teleport doesn't really get anybody's attention. Just a tip. Just a tip. Res tip.
Recovery. So someone will ask for a res in Western Wastes, and what they mean is, will you go to Western Race, run all the way across the zone with Bad Faction and no invis, without Sal, bring my corpse to a place which also has wanderers that might kill you, and then res me.
Right.
There's a difference between corpse recovery and resing.
If somebody's really good at trade skills, and somebody comes up and says, will you make so-and-so for me? How about you give them the pieces? Research what the pieces are. Bring them the pieces. They'll give you at least a better deal, and a lot of people will flat do it for you if you're very polite and you really go out of your way to make minimize their effort. It'll help.
And I do not mind doing combines for people. If someone asks me, if someone brings the stuff, I don't mind doing a combine. It's always nice to give a little donation for combines because it does take time. But if you, the other thing is, if you are asking for a combine on something like a Velium item, Velium is not trivial, ever.
Right.
You have to remember this. And if you're doing a combine with, if you ask someone to do a combine, you have to understand it is at your own risk. If I fail a combine, it's not my fault. My skill is... For Velium, I cannot trivial it ever.
And if you want something, give more than one
set
of pieces.
Carry.
Bring it's about like, three or four if it's going to be something non-trivial.
If you wanted something easy, like a golden electrum, like a gold or electrum item, it's usually okay. But if you do have someone who's yelling out, "I'm a master jeweler, I will make your things," check whether they're a master or a grandmaster, because you're a master at 100. And gold is not trivial at 100. And you do have to be really careful with this. Because before I was a grandmaster, I would have people make me things, and they would get, you know, they would lie about this.
Absolutely.
Level.
Something else we've taken to doing with, when you have somebody do a combine for you, group with them. That way, you see if they fail or succeed. That way, they can't scam you. Say, "Oh, I failed it," but now they've got this, you know, platinum ruby veil or whatever that they made for you that they're going to go sell.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. Having somebody with trade skills is every bit as important to be buyer beware as it is anything else. I mean, you know, there are people out there who lie about it. There are people who say they're level 250 when they're level 100. You know, it happens. There's just a couple other things I wanted to mention. My wife pointed this out. For newbies, mainly, understand that if somebody offers to let you join their guild and you don't even know them, or even join their group, you're not obligated to join it. A lot of people seem to think that they are. My personal opinion is, if somebody doesn't know me and asks me to join their guild, I don't want to be a part of their guild. You know, if they'll have me without knowing me, I don't want any part of it. Which leads to shop for your guild. A good guild is going to interview you. You need to interview them the same way. Find out if you're going to like them or not. Guilds have reputations. Find out if it's one you really want to be a part of or not. It can be a big difference. And, you know, your reputation follows you. Hey, they were a member of so-and-so guild. Those are a bunch of jerks. They must be a jerk. Yeah. Which leads to, you also don't have to duel. You know, if somebody offers to duel you, you really don't have to take it. You know, it's just up to you, but I wouldn't. You also don't have to go into an arena. Keep that in mind. The only other thing I wanted to mention was a couple of websites that I knew of. You guys probably know of a bunch more, and I just wanted to, I mean, just, what's that?
Looking at?
Yeah, I was going to mention eqtraders.com. I have this list. I didn't have time to do anything better on this, but I'll be happy to give people a list of some of the websites that I've got after this. But EQ Traders, I'm gonna avoid the www in front and the .com on the end, just assume that I said that. EQ Traders is one for any trade skills. It's one of the best places to go. Right, fletching is, yeah, that one you need to probably go to Rangers. Yeah, well, tinkering's its own little world, isn't it? First one is EverQuestLive.com. That is the official EverQuest website that's really for EverQuest. You can go to EverQuest.com and it'll just point, the big link is to get you to this one. This is where all of the current information is. It's where all the current rules are. It's really the home place. Go check that one out often. You got Everlore, which is kind of a good generic site. Caster's Realm is one of the best ones as a generic place for getting out spells. It's really good for that. I mean, spells for anybody, it's there. And it's got information on others. Good starter, how to set up your characters initially is in a lot of these. Take it for, what it is, though. Understand that the only official one is EverQuestLive.com. All these others are not sponsored by Sony. Sony watches them, I'm pretty sure. But
are they all player-submitted information?
Question is, are they all player-submitted information? Yes, although
I find a lot of BS comments that have nothing to do with the subject.
Absolutely, there's a lot of BS and. There's a lot of BS on these because they are player submitted, especially Everlore is the one that I always think is funny. There's a lot of good information on there, but all the comments that go with everything is usually BS. There's maybe one useful one in 10 in there. But, again, it's player beware on this. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, I tried a quest for one of them sites that I got there with the items in the
right.
You need more cash,
right? And that reminds me, understand this on quests. If you get a how-to on a quest from somebody or some website and it doesn't work, don't petition. It seems like that's ought to be obvious, but don't petition because, number one, I probably don't know anything about the quest, and number two, you're not guaranteed that quest, first off, that person didn't just lie or make something up, and three, quests change. Norrath is a dynamic world, and something that worked a year ago may not be the same nowadays. On quests, you start it. The best way to do it is to figure out where to start a quest, and go to that person. Don't even if that person just sends you over here, go to that person and start the quest. You'll know if you've got good faction right off. If they won't even talk to you or they don't give you that quest, don't try to complete it. You're probably going to fail. It's a good way to know, but just wanted to throw that one out. EQ Atlas is one of the best sites I know of for maps. Alakazam is a really good site. Keep in mind, a lot of these sites are like a person, a man or a woman who's running this site. Often on their own, y'all all know the whole .com explosion. It's not like a good business model. So these guys, when they ask for donations, they mean it. My wife and I support EQ Atlas and Alakazam. There's a lot of others to support. I'm not saying these are better or worse, but we both subscribe to these because we feel like they provide a good service. There are a lot of other ones, so I'm not trying to say these are the best. All these have links to each other, though. So, if you can get to one or two of these, you should be able to find the rest of them. EQ Prices is good for knowing what items are out there. It's not good for knowing what prices are out there. In my opinion, because it's just not, they just no way to keep it updated. You want to know prices? Go to the bazaar and browse a while. You'll get an idea of what prices are, and they can vary dramatically. There's also a site called Safe House. I'm not sure of the exact URL on it, but this is supposed to be a really good link site for most everything else. Also, there's a site called Magelo, M-A-G-E-L-O. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it. It's basically a player database to keep where you can you have to store it on your own server, but you can take screenshots of your inventory. And a lot of guilds make use of this. But it's kind of cool. You want to know what the ideal enchanter's outfit should be? Go there and look at one of the high-level enchanters, and you can get an idea of where you want to get to. And again, there's a ton more. I mean, I think there's EQ Druids and EQ Shaman, and there's at least two Ranger ones that there's a million of them out there. Just keep in mind, these aren't official signs. So, you know, take the information for what you can get out of it. Question up front and then back there. Two on this side anyway. There's a mention of EQ Links, which also has links. Just trying to comment. Okay, sorry.
Actually, it was an example of one of the things you're talking about, the quest changes.
Mm-hmm.
I went on to one of those sites and found a quest to give you experience if you give some guy in the Dwarven City a lot of belts. So I went to Crushbone and saved up like 20 some odd number of belts, and then I go there to give them all of them. It turns out they changed to Crushbone pads.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe there's another guy in there who actually does take belts, but they gave you the wrong name. You know, I don't really know if that's true, but that's just another good example of it, that if you take these as a kind of clue as to where to start looking, that would be a good example of first go talk to the guy and find out what he wants, and then you can go gather the belts. That's really what I was talking about on starting a quest. And you would find out for sure if he only took pads, you'd at least know from then on. But that's why, you know, I actually made the same mistake, so I don't know what you're saying.
My question is concerning EQ Atlas and that the new official maps that Sony is coming out with. And at this point, does anybody need them? Have they not already printed all theirs out from EQ Atlas?
Well, that's a good point. Sony is doing it because a lot of people don't know about EQ Atlas. And Sony, unfortunately, is calling theirs EQ Atlas. And if you've been to some of the sites, they're all making a big point of saying, just so you know, what Sony's doing has nothing to do with the dude who's doing EQ Atlas. It's actually different information. And in my opinion, EQ Atlas is still more useful. But it's kind of like the guides at Prima. Yeah, the online one, I'm sorry. The online one, in my opinion, is still more useful, although that's only from what I've heard of Sony's. But, you know, is it Prima that does the books? I mean, a lot of people, you know, when grandma buys the game for granddaughter or grandson, she probably buys the book too, not knowing anything about the game. Or maybe she's buying it for herself. But she may not know anything about the game, so you get the book. You know, with Kunark, I got the book, and I was looking at it going, you know, just it came with it, and I'm going, this is not all that useful. But it is to some people. So, you know, maybe the EQ Atlas from Sony will be useful to some people.
Just going back, before you're talking about like etiquette when asking for things and stuff like that, something that'll help, I think, some people don't know like the difference between what you're saying and what your character's saying, and it'll help you keep off lists, because I know people who keep lists as well. If you have a character who's a troll and is really mean and hates people and gives people rude gestures and growls them and challenges them to the duel all the time, send him a tell and let him know you're just role-playing sometimes.
Absolutely.
And it'll get you a lot. I mean, I've had people who wouldn't deal with some of my other characters because they knew I played another character. And then I started doing this, that, you know, if you're really rude to somebody and it's just role-playing because they're a dark elf, send them a tell, let them know that you're just playing with them and you don't really mean it. And it can go a long way to keep you from getting killed a lot. So.
Oh, absolutely. One of my favorites was an Ixar who continuously called my character Lunch. And, you know, I mean, he was serious. He would just do everything he could to try to you know, get my character killed. But he and I knew that it was role play, but he had to tell me first. Because at first I thought he was trying to get me trained or something like that. We worked it out. Okay, he wasn't serious about it, but it was clearly that, you know, that was clearly the case. Any other questions? Anybody got a comment? The question was, did they say much about Planes of Power at the fanfare? They did. They had a demo of I won't say a demo, but they kind of ran through some of what Planes of Power is going to be. it wasn't in a lot of detail because they love to, you know, dribble this stuff out. You know, if you go to some of the official sites of Planes of Power, you'll see where they're dribbling out pieces of information. They're really wanting to wait for the big release to give you a lot of good information. But it's getting there.
It's 4 o'clock now. We have to start wrapping this up. You know, we got the next final panel.
I am done. I've actually hit everything I was going to hit. If nobody, I see a question over here. And
can we go around the room and find out what everybody's server is, just so that, you know, any like people on the same server can talk together?
That's a good point. We already know there's nobody from Zegany. Okay, hang on. All right. All right. Got a Tunari. Name another server. All right, what's your server? Isai? Another server? Hey, you should have been at the fanfare. Those were everywhere. What's your server again? Okay, Rutz at Knife. Zev? Kazakh Thul. Bertox. I'm sorry? XEV.
Seventh Hammer.
Rothe.
I can raise you on Tribunal.
Tribunal. Any other servers haven't been named? Drizzle Row? Quilius? Anybody else?
Is any server better than another for any reason?
Any server better than another? It's a good question. Okay, if you're not talking player versus player, because there are different levels of player versus player server, otherwise it depends. Some servers have been around longer than others. So you're going to have older guilds there. I'm sorry? Yeah, the economy can be very different on a younger server versus an older server. You'd have to just ask people who've been around. A Yoni Row, I think, is a fairly new server. Now, here's the thing. One of the European servers is pretty new, you know, which you're allowed to play on, but I hope you're German or, you know.
I play with some German, some French people because I play at weird hours.
Oh, a lot of servers, yeah. If you play at odd hours, you're going to have a lot of that. Well, guys, we need to wrap up. I hope y'all enjoyed it.